Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Swoop. Got a very special guest today, Drinking Bros fans, Ryan Kavanaugh from Triller.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. How's it going? You've brought some joy into all of our lives. The prospect of seeing one of the Paul brothers get destroyed at some point, I think, was a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, you've allowed us much conversation over here at the Tetherball Media Academy Network. Yeah.
Well, you said the words out of order, but that's fine.
Yeah, you know, I do that sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully, we'll get to see one of that happen soon. You know,
very soon.
Yeah, he's fighting Mike Tyson, so that's not a good thing. But
I don't think that's not real.
Yeah, but in Mike Tyson's mind, is it real? That's the question you should be asking yourself.
Well, so we have a contract with Mike, actually. So in his mind, it may be real, but
yeah,
on paper,
that's exactly what I mean. You never know.
I think in Mike Tyson's mind, it was real. That he was fighting Sugar Ray Leonard last month. Mm. And, you know, he tends to jump around quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Well, he grows some really strong weed over there at Tyson Ranch. So
that's true, you know. Yeah. Although I think he's off the weed now, right?
Well, that's right. You're right. He's back to training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I don't, you know, it never hurt Nate Diaz.
No, never. Not at all. Probably extended his career quite a long time.
Maybe pain management-wise. Right, but that's not why he was smoking weed. Nate Diaz was smoking weed because he wanted to smoke weed. Let's be real.
I mean, the California Commission now allowed it in boxing. Yeah.
Well, the gaming commissions are the last people that care, right? I don't think anybody else is testing. Any other major sport is testing for weed anymore, right? I don't think.
Even if it tests positive, it doesn't. It's ignored.
Except for the Olympics.
Well, I'm talking about major sports organizations like baseball. I know the NBA and NFL for sure don't test for it anymore. I doubt hockey ever tested for it. Soccer can't because everybody would be positive all the time. You know what I mean?
Does anybody watch the Olympics?
I didn't.
I do for wrestling, but that's about it. No one really cares about my opinion.
Wrestling and boxing is pretty good. You know, Winter Olympics, some of the ski stuff is sick.
I want to change. Like, we've got some ideas for Olympic sports. One of them is, we just came up with it earlier today, actually. It's weaponless jousting, right? So, No. Like, just all you have is your fists, right? But you have to, the same principle. You start on opposite sides of the room, run towards each other, and you can only make contact in a circle in the middle of the room. but only once. Like it's in passing, right? So you have one chance to kick somebody or punch them on your way past them, and they're trying to do the same to you.
Did you see the slap fight we did on the baseball fight?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that. You know, that guy actually really got knocked out and was in the hospital.
I mean, I've seen enough of those Russian dudes in videos getting fucking, like, you can see their eyeballs roll into the back of their... I've seen people get knocked out and shot and stuff, and that's what you look like when you get knocked out and shot.
Yeah.
Like, your body seizes up, and it's just like... It's pretty funny.
I was told he was in the hospital for 3 days. When he woke up, he forgot he actually had a slap fight.
Whoa. That's
that's pretty knocked out. That's the kind of knocked out you should pay attention to for a couple of months and rehab your brain.
Yeah.
Probably.
I could probably rehab your brain if you agreed to be in a slap fight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably not a good decision to make. There's no winners in slap fights. There's only less losers. You know what I mean?
Well,
you lost a little less than the other guy. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay. Well, let's... what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, it is fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it's fucking entertaining. I'm not going to lie. I don't think a lot of people know about... They hear your name in the media and stuff, but I'm not sure they know exactly who you are, where you came from and stuff. Cool. So give us a rundown of how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I'll kind of try and give the abridged version. Mm-hmm. So early on in my career, even though my parents always said, you can do whatever you want, just you can't go into Hollywood, we'll disown you. Mm-hmm. Having grown up, you know, in LA and knowing how toxic it is. So of course, where did I end up? Through a random fluke and sequence of events, I ended up in Hollywood. Long and short is, in around 2003, I formed a company called Relativity Media, where we kind of brought, I'll call it finance, into the film business for the first time. And between 2003 and 2015, so my big first deal was creating Marvel Studios. Marvel was a bankrupt toy licensing company that had been acquired by another company called the Toy Show. Mm. They had licensed rights of Spider-Man to Sony and of X-Men to Fox, but they owned none of those rights. And so they were looking now, as a now public company, saying, hey, you know, Sony just made all this money on our character and Fox just made all this money on our other character. We promised our public markets we wouldn't use our money to make movies. How can we build a studio and make movies? So I spent everybody said it was impossible. I had people laugh me out of room. They were like, wait, you're telling me Iron Man is going to be like Spider-Man? I remember people saying, everybody hates America. No one's going to watch Captain America, and there's never going to be a black superhero. So after a year, I put the whole plan together, wrote the structure, raised $565 million from Merrill Lynch. And off to the races, the next 10 movies were, you know, right out of the plan. And that was how I started. And then I ended up doing about deals with Warner, Sony, Universal. I've made 250 movies, 40 TV shows. Built up a sports agency that I started in 2009, and I think we were number two in the world, which I sold off in 2014. Sold the television company in 2014. And then ended up in Triller. When I was looking at short form content apps in around 2018, TikTok was on the rise. Came across the app that was then called Triller, which is a music editing AI with a social component to it.
Okay.
We acquired what was that then called Triller, and four other companies, merged them together. I think only two of the original Triller employees stayed, and through that built up a content short and long form business, which includes Triller Fight Club, which I launched exactly a year ago this Saturday.
Wow. Well,
short to long form. I was looking for a way to describe what you did, because like traveling through the app and then traveling through your browser extension here too, it's like you have all this micro content for new music, the same way like TikTok does, in a way where people can dance along to it or make little short form video content. You have some of these new influencers going live here on different time schedules here, which I find is super interesting. That way, like, you kind of know and can plan, or you won't have two people competing against each other.
Well, you're trying to get all the things that made sense about network without the bullshit network. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what everybody's been trying to do over the past 10 or 50 years.
Which I kind of feel like is why people tuned into like old Disney Club or Nickelodeon, was like you almost saw these like micro celebrities at the kid level.
Yeah.
Like kind of pretend, because the acting was pretty bad, to be honest. You kind of just...
Yeah. I mean, the it's easier to be a voice actor, I assume, than it is to be an actor on film and have to have your facial expressions and from your dead eyes match the glee that you're supposed to be exhibiting for this, for the role, right? You know what I mean? I mean, it's way different. But
and then you have the pay-per-views, which are like the multi-hour events that are also incorporating concerts. So it's like you're hitting people at all their attention spans.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that's legitimately, I mean, you guys said it better than I probably am going to steal that from now on and change my entire pitch of our company. But yes, we have this kind of linear programming, going back a little bit to the old days, but where it's around celebrities and influencers, and you can just go watch your favorite celebrity or influencer for a half hour, you know, generally about a topic that they're, you know, kind of focused on. And like you said, it's similar to like the Disney old Nickelodeon, you know what you're going to get. We're very much a music discovery platform. We have a deal with Billboard, so we have the Triller Billboard charts. And you know, we're very rooted in hip hop, rap, R&B. And we have, I think, 99 of the top 100 charting artists in the world are shareholders in the company.
Oh, that's cool.
Metallica actually just became an investor shareholder in the company.
That's great. They put out a couple of hits.
Yeah.
One or two. They're performing for us this Saturday, as you probably know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were going to come over.
But yeah, we kind of span. We have everything. We kind of call it a community of where content, commerce, and creators come together. So we have a SMS platform called Clicks, which you basically get if you're an influencer. One of the biggest problems today is you got Instagram and you got YouTube and you've got Snap and Twitter, but effectively, if you try and promote to your fan base, they're going to kind of cut you off 95% of the feed because, you know, the partner you're working with is not going through the app. It's kind of a problem. So we've actually solved that issue for them where we give them direct access two-way to their entire fan base without having to be at the whims of, you know, I'll call it big tech.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, so somebody at some point had to create some kind of infrastructure, I guess, or create a platform rather that's kind of like Shopify and stamps.com that allows people that want to run businesses the ability to do so without having to invest in all the infrastructure and run this behemoth of a company and also still own their IP and be able to monetize the way they want to, right? Without some predatory production company ripping all the fucking IP out and fucking taking all the money on the downstream. You know what I mean?
Right. You can't have to make the choice. If I want a successful business model, I have to give away my IP.
Right. Especially these days when IP, nothing is more valuable than IP. We see this with crypto. We see this with NFTs and shit like that. Mm-hmm. The controlling your IP over time and your data in general as an individual, not even a business, is becoming more and more important now. So any kind of platform that allows for people to profit off of their own likeness or own effort without the constraints of industry, that's a good thing in my
opinion. Well, the music industry was the first big walled garden, right? So you looked at like where music lived at on the internet for a little while, and it wasn't until recently, till a lot of the copyright restrictions got so good in the AI and the scrubbing, where it could live on different socials. But it's nice that you actually like get funneled directly there. So like once you have these licensing agreements in place, once you have the artists like wanting to be on this platform, it's like it makes it super easy for the creators as well to have access to it, I believe. So it all kind of like synonymously works together.
Not just access, but also access to each other to collaborate. That's what you see. Like one of the biggest trends on your platform and on TikTok right now are people like they'll write a riff on a guitar, be like, hey, sing over this, and just put it out there, and thousands of people will return songs. You know what I mean?
You know what's really cool about that? Sorry to interrupt, you're the first person that I've heard outside of our organization use this term, walled garden. People don't know what it is usually. So all other platforms but us are walled gardens. Their entire business model is get you in, get your audience in, and then you can't leave because if you don't market through them, right, you lose your audience. And we have, I won't name the particular influencer, but let's just say the number one in the world who, you know, did a cosmetic deal and her Instagram rep called her up and said, hey, you know, if you did it through us, we'd be able to really, you know, promote it more. And what they're really saying was, give us the brand and we won't shut you off from your own feed because we're only going to give 55%. So what we did with Clicks is exactly that. And with Triller, you'll see we encourage their content to push out on all other platforms. And so we actually are not a walled garden. Our entire concept is make content long and short, get it out everywhere, help creators monetize their content. And even when you brought up, you know, where people can put riffs on and, you know, go over it, we actually now have a, where you can tag the creator of that content. So all too often, I mean, one of the things we just saw happen is like on TikTok, all those dances, most of them are created by Black creators. And
it's mostly and white 12-year-olds doing the dances though, right? Yeah. That's what everybody sees.
Exactly. So now on ours, you actually give credit to the person who created it and you literally tag them in there and it goes viral.
Then the person becomes the hashtag. It's like you synonymously do two things at once. It's like, it's both like, this is how you find, and then also you connect with the other people who are doing it.
Yeah. And we just actually launched an initiative where we gave $14 million for Black creators specifically who created that stuff that haven't gotten paid. And so you can hashtag them and we actually then pay them for it.
Okay, so talk about
you're fighting. You gotta get George Washington Carver some money for peanut butter, bro. I mean, shit. I eat it all the time.
It is delicious.
That's very true, but I gotta go find some of his descendants, huh?
I know, right? No, but there, yeah, that's we're in a creator economy now. So this talk about the Great Resignation and stuff. Like, yeah, there people are leaving the workforce for a number of reasons. It seems like some of it is pandemic related still, which is kind of weird. But there's no better time in the history of humanity than just right now to start a business for yourself, right?
That is 100% true, especially if you're a creator and you have any kind of content. So when we came up with our work, we're a place where content creators and commerce join, like. One of the concerns we had is the word creator too small. Does it mean influencer? No. For us, a creator is anybody who has a talent that they can take and put onto a screen in any way. You could be the biggest movie star. You could be a musician. You can be a social media influencer. You can be a boxer. That's what a creator is.
Yeah. And it's, you know, again, somebody was looking for the tools. A number of different platforms have tried it. Facebook didn't really know what it was for the first 10 years of that company. I feel like they were just kind of waiting to see what they were. Twitter still doesn't know what it is. I mean, Twitter is an outrage algorithm. That's what that is. Well, Twitter is like meant to fucking piss people off.
Twitter's just a one-trick pony, you know. But the problem with them is they can't do what we're doing. Not that they don't have the time, the money, power, and breadth. They certainly do. But if they did it, it kills their whole business. If they all of a sudden said, hey, we're going to empower you, the creator, to go around us. You know, their entire business is about keeping the information from the brands and keeping the information from the creators and saying, ha ha ha, you pay us. We'll then get it out there. We're not going to tell you anything about who we're getting it to, but we're going to get it out there and tell you about how it got to them.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that's definitely, I've experienced this firsthand, not necessarily with our media company here because they hate us out of the gate, but there was a time up until around like mid 2016 where Facebook advertising was still pretty efficient. And then all of a sudden, I mean, that was the bait and switch, right? It was like, here, you can use this fucking Facebook creator tools for free or whatever the fuck it was. And then all of a sudden they pull the rug out underneath everybody's feet and everybody starts seeing, wow, it's costing six times more to get a customer than it did a month ago. What the fuck just happened? I know my audience is still growing. So why am I only, and they changed the algorithms. And then as soon as we came here to Austin, actually, and went into the fucking Facebook building, we're like, hey, what the fuck? They're like, oh, you can use these tools to fucking get around that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, cool. So now that we're paying you $100,000 a month to run ads, we can get treated fairly on your platform, you piece of shit.
I think that's...
You know what they are? They're drug dealers.
Yeah, that's all it is.
They gave you the first, you know, whatever dose for free. And then they said, okay, now we're going to charge you a little. And then we'll charge you a little more. And now that you're hooked, you know, because now all your entire audience is on there. I mean... Yeah, I'm sure you guys are on all these YouTube fits, whatever. They're taking, I'm guessing, 60, 70% of your cut. So, like, we've tested this even with podcasts where you use clicks. You've got 75 million people now on clicks. You just send out a direct message to your audience, and you can literally just do it your own direct cast. You don't need a YouTube. You don't need a Twitch. You don't need anything, really. And you're telling your audience directly, talking to them directly, nobody in between. And you can just do like a live task, right? You know, with your own tech and not have to pay a penny to anybody else.
Housing it is the biggest issue. Like the server space for it is kind of the issue we came down to right now and the cost of it.
Well, it's not that hard because remember now with AWS and, you know, everybody's competing for that business. Oracle's now in that business. Microsoft, obviously. I mean, it's cheap. I mean, even thousands and thousands of hours of programming, and you're going to spend much less than what you would pay Facebook. I'm sure whatever you guys are paying, 20-30%, you know, the amount of content you guys are putting out, that's going to cost a couple grand a month.
So, like, I mean, yeah, you know, 30% is industry standard from what I've seen on all the sites, whether it's Twitch, once you become part of the creator program or the partner program or however they want to spin it, they're going to get you your ads and they're going to take 30% off the top. They're also going to take that from your direct payment method from any of your fan base who want to give you money. That's about 30% off the top there too. Patreon is what I've seen have like best as far as like rates and what they're doing to help germinate like young creators. They're taking about 12%, plus they'll give you access to merch at an 18% mark where they'll handle your merch for you. It's a huge markup on your merch. You're not taking much.
So they're trying to fucking be a one-stop shop. That's not how this works, man.
Which, if you had known nothing, it's better than nothing. But
for sure.
I think growing.
But that's like having a WordPress fucking site or something like that.
Right. I'd love to get on Click. I bet you we did a test. You did one podcast on Clicks. I bet you, and you get 100% of your own proceeds and your own merch and your own, you know, ads. I bet you you'd see close to the same numbers, if not more, because you're actually talking directly to your audience and not being filtered. And it's literally just picking what broadcast method am I using? That's it. Right. But other than that, like, even if you did one trial, I think you guys, everybody that's used it has come back and been like, holy shit.
So let me explain this to me a little bit more. Clicks. It's like a restream almost. Like it goes to there before it goes to the distribution channels.
No.
So it all lives there as like a platform.
So we give you a phone number, your own phone number, and you post it on your social and you say, here's my number, click here and sign up. Now you're in one-way SMS or two-way SMS with your entire audience. And it's you have your own creator dashboard to be able to talk to them or through an app. Now, whenever you want to do something, let's just say you send a message out saying, we're going live now at 9 p.m. Here's what we're talking about. Click here. Whatever you're using to go live. So let's say you don't want to use, you want to use something that is, you know, not charging you per se, even if it's we have our own live tool. We use Triller Live for free. And the Triller Live, I would argue, is better than pretty much any of them, given that we do 5 million concurrents, you know, when we do our versus shows and we have no issues. So,
So right now you're doing direct to consumer notification as far as via SMS text message. So basically all our customers or content watchers will get a text message saying when we're going live. And then you're also going to host that live tool for us. What kind of resolution can you give on this platform?
So take whatever the highest, basically what can we give, take whatever the highest you get anywhere and we meet it or beat it. So without saying who it is, take the biggest of the biggest. And they're using us as their backup, given that they had some issues with big pay-per-view live events, you know, where, excuse me, let's say there was a big live boxing event and maybe it didn't work. They now use us because we work and they don't. the long and short of it is not just one text message. It's an interactive iteration. So you're talking to your audience at all times. You could send a text message every 5 minutes if you wanted, and you can also send links and you can send, you know, pre-videos and pre-roll, and you can say, hey, by the way, here's a link to just watch it. If you missed it, watch it here and click here and watch it. And so you use the, what we call Triller Live tool, which we're coming out next week with a camera that shoots both front and back out of your phone simultaneously.
So it's turning your phone into a 3D camera so that anyone who's watching can then watch in 3D and then move around that whole space with you? Or just like they have two screens, like you can watch the front or the back?
It's both. So if you're, let's say you don't have what you guys have, which is all these sophisticated tools to put a show on and talk about it in the background and overlay, but you're a micro influencer or a micro creator and you want to watch, you know, I don't know, you're watching a boxing match and you want to be able to talk about it. You can be watching the show on the top and you talking on the bottom at the same time. Both cameras are on.
Oh, that's awesome. So if they want to like almost like screen capture, watch the screen and then watch their reaction.
I mean, the application to that would be mobile podcast recording with a guest, right?
Right.
Because if you set it up, if you set it up with a noise gate and or what do you call it?
Just like AI audio enhancement, you know, that's getting better and better, which I think most things are learning to. And for an influencer who didn't know what they were doing, but could just set a phone down, record themselves and a guest, it sound good, be able to go live through the Triller Live app.
And also it's going to switch the face that's on the screen based on
That, or if it's a 16 by 9, they'll just put both on top of each other. And I want to talk about that as far as like aspect ratios. And it's like creating content for four different attention spans or different places. Like, how do you know where to funnel things? Or how do you know where to invest, like what to invest in there? Because obviously a 3-hour event is going to be a different kind of person.
Yeah, like Fight TV is going to be watched probably on a big screen television somewhere. But a lot of the other content, the creator, the lower level creators are everything's on the phone now. Almost everything.
Right. And, but they're also watching it on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a really, you bring up a great point. So our goal is to make it everything seamless, just all content the same. So we actually have a really cool tech that I'm really proud of. I don't know if anybody else had, I know we have patents around it. I haven't seen anybody have anything like this, but on Fight TV, if you download the app on your phone, right? And let's say I'm sitting in I walk into your living room and I have Fight TV and I say, hey, you guys watching the fight? You know, oh no, I don't have it. Eric, can you close it open? Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay.
So what'll happen is it'll literally automatically pop up, not through a screen share, not through AirPlay. But it, as long as you're on the network, it will tell me every screen in the room. Mm-hmm. I'll select the screen. It'll cast to the screen in the highest screen quality. If I then start using my phone, emails, phone calls, it'll keep the cast going. So I'm throwing it up to the TV off my phone or whatever screen. And so what we're trying to do is make it seamless. So
all natively through the app.
Correct.
Yeah.
Through the Fight, that's the Fight TV app. So all the kids, even the kids like to watch it on here, mm-hmm. but then they might walk into their friend's house and say, hey, let's all watch it up there.
Right.
Adults, you're right. Most, we're in, I think, 6 million homes, Fight TV.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those downloads are on, you know, Samsung, Apple, mm-hmm. Roku, you know, all the usual suspects. But we're starting to get a lot of direct to phone where you're downloading from Fight directly, mm-hmm. right? And actually natively just using it on the phone. Now, obviously, because the fact that they can take it anywhere and cast it anywhere and still use their phone is pretty cool.
Yeah, so you're almost like not just solving the problem of how to show content to one person, but almost solving a problem of how to take content on the all content on the road with you and project it somewhere, right? Show to an audience almost. Like that's a different thing than anybody's tried to do before, because most people are building walls around their content to make sure it can't be viewed. Like Major League Baseball can't be redistributed without the express written consent of Major League Baseball or whatever.
Or they'll block streaming from your phone to your TV because you only get access through the phone, which is a pretty common one. So I want to ask you a thing. Fight companions are something that we do here quite often, or like watch-alongs with sports. Is there ever going to be any integration? So if you can automatically pull it up on your phone, could you activate that front-facing camera and give like a picture-in-picture 16 by 9 of what's going on and then you commentating on that if you were some sort of approved influencer through the app?
So you guys are really far ahead of anything.
Or not, actually. You wouldn't even need to be an approved influencer. What does he care? You buy the fight as the influencer, and it includes the package where you can put your fucking picture up there too and audio.
And then connect that through the social network aspect of it, so you're following them and then you can chime in. So-and-so's watching the fight, maybe you pay a fee or it's an in-app purchase to watch the fight along with them, and then you get their commentary.
Like they get some kind of scrape on it, you would think.
Yeah.
You guys, between the walled garden and this, you guys are like ahead of us. Like, so yes, our next step is exactly that, which is we want to expand fighting in general. You know, as you know, we're not launching a new sport on Saturday. Mm. Part of that is bringing fighting to the youth, but boxing, MMA, what we call our triad, our Trillerverses, you know, they cross over many, many different audiences, many different ages, many different cultures. And so for us, the next step is who's commentating, right? And so, as you said, that's one of the reasons we're creating that tech. So if I'm a 17-year-old female influencer, you know, my audience is probably not a big fight audience. Mm. But if I'm talking about it from a different perspective, I don't know, maybe the way they're moving, maybe their clothes, whatever it is, my audience, they watch it. So yes, we are launching the ability for all the way from micro all the way up to the biggest to be able to, you know, through a specific package, buy it, offer to their audience with their own commentary.
Oh, I love that. That's literally what
I mean. We've been doing it manually for like the last 3 years, more or less. I mean, we don't, obviously for copyright reasons, we don't broadcast the stuff that we give people time hacks, like, hey, we're at this point in the football game or this point in the fight, sync your TV up with us, and then we're going to commentate the rest of it like that. That's how we've had to do it so far, right?
So I think it's been itching. Go ahead.
What we're going to do in that instance is give people the ability. So what we would do is we'd shut off the main commentary, have a feed going directly to you guys. It would be your commentary. And then anybody who comes through you would pay a small fee instead of, let's say the fight's $49.99. They're going to come to you and instead they'll pay, I'm making it up, $19.99, of which you guys get a piece and, you know, we get our piece, to have your commentary and not have to pay for the full price. Mm. But that's what the way we look at it is, okay, well, that audience, if they wanted to watch the main fight, they would. Mm-hmm. But they're coming to you guys, and so therefore we'll give them a big discount, and we'll split it with you guys.
Yeah.
Your production costs are way lower from whatever you pay your announcers or the production.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the production costs there are nothing but uptime, right? It's just server space, basically. Modems.
Well, the argument against it is, how many people are you cannibalizing, right? So if I had 1 million people that were going to buy my fight at $49.99, are half of them going to say, ooh, I can get it for $19.99 and I'll get the Drinking Brothers, you know, VO or, or, you know, commentary. And I didn't really care either way. So I'm, instead of paying $49, I'm paying $19. That's the downside argument. Our whole thing is, yeah, that may be the case, but if we can get it broader and bigger, and our whole thing is about creating a fair creator economy, we're putting more money in your guys' pockets. We're allowing people to, you know, get things for less expensive, so be it, you know?
If someone's just trying to watch it for half the price with, like, alternative commentary, they're just going to illegally stream it.
They probably weren't going to pay for the full fight in the first place, to be honest. I think 20 might be a little low for that. But even then, let's say just conservatively it's 20 instead of 50 or 100 in some cases. You know, 100 times 100,000 is still less, right? Than 2 million times fucking 50 or whatever the price happens to be. So it's not even in the same fucking ballpark.
Maybe you give it limited full screen access from the fight itself. Maybe you don't get instant replays.
But it's more about having active customers in your fucking...
Yeah, you grow the pool. Area, you just grow the pool bigger.
Yeah, you're growing the pool because then every new fucking product you come up with, no matter what it is, you are now recession-proof because you have eyeballs, which are the hardest thing to get. An idea is easy. Eyeballs are hard to get.
I got a proposal for you guys.
A new sport?
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
Our new sport we're launching, which we're off to a pretty good start, which we should have at least 7 events a year. Why don't we give you guys a feed, have you have your own commentating, and agree to a discounted fee from what we're selling it for, and you guys will be the first, and we'll announce it. Well, I guess we're announcing it right now, if you say yes.
Yeah, we'll do it. When is the first event?
The first one's coming right up with Frank Mir, and we're going to discuss this, because I'm going to discuss his chances versus a guy who's only lost in heavyweight title fights, but now he gets to hold hands, and the gloves are smaller, and his fingers are open, and it's a triangle, and everything is different. So. Yeah.
We've had, you know how this is, people act like this is a fucking new thing. Do people not remember back in the 1940s, we had baseball players trying to race horses and shit out on the field? Like, this isn't fucking new. We've been trying to take extreme examples of great athletes, regardless of their fucking species even, and pit them against each other in weird scenarios forever. It's always been like this.
This is really what we're doing is not only evolving a sport, because look, let's face it, boxing is an older sport. It's still shot the same. It still looks the same. It's still that like kind of boring commentary of like, and it's all right, and let's see, you know, and still got that single fucking camera, like as if somehow people don't have high quality televisions. Like, oh, we're still watching it in a box with two wires. And, you know, and even the UFC, it's like 20 years old plus at this point. The format doesn't change. Like, people like the main fight. That's it. It's fucking boring other than that. So what we looked at is, as we were doing these fights, not just the fighters, but how do we get the youth engaged? And how do we make this fair? And so we created a team sport. It is boxing versus MMA. And we blended all the rules and mixed and matched it and came up with, over a year, we tried different pieces and kind of listened to our particularly younger audience, like that 18 to 30-year-old audience typically doesn't. They love boxing and they love fighting and they work out to it. They just don't watch it.
Because it's boring. Why? What other industry would you go to the customer and be like, you guys just don't get it? You know, you'd be running a fucking lesbian bookstore like in Portlandia. You know what I mean? That's like what the... That's you the fucking customer tells you what they want and you give it to them. That's how it works.
Yes. And so we have this argument all the time here over on the network. I am a traditionalist in a sport coming from a wrestling background. They come from an entertainment background. We argue about which one is more important, whether the boring fight is just as beautiful, whether the and everyone in this studio hates grappling. So it feels like you've just solved that issue for everyone who doesn't like to watch jiu-jitsu. You've got hardcore MMA fans who like to punch. You got Mike Perry. For like all of sakes,
you know
and
why
they're fighting real boxers.
Do you know why this happened? It's because of probably the two, if not the best, two of the top five UFC fighters of all time, right? GSP and fucking this asshole that just left us hanging after fucking 29 fights. You know what I mean? Their style was boring but undefeatable apparently, and that's a problem for Americans. We're like, this is why we don't like soccer here.
Which
I want to see somebody's brains get smashed out of the back of their fucking head. Dude, god damn it.
Well, you know how to see that? Put them in a triangle.
Yeah.
So the way someone asked me if you could give one quote about what's going to happen, I said, well, pretty much everywhere is a corner, so you're either going to be getting smashed or smashing. Because pretty much that's it. Like your back is either, you know, getting hit or you're the one that's hitting.
All right, we got to do some ads to keep this whole show on the road here. First and foremost, Ghostbed, they've got a flash sale, 40% off their bundle package, which is an adjustable base and a mattress at the same time, and then you get 40% off everything else that's on the order. Now, that's not the only thing they've got going on right now. As is usual for these guys, there's 15 different sales going on because they like taking care of people. The one that's going on right now is, if you spend $1,000 or more on whatever it happens to be, mattress, a series of things, whatever it happens to be, you're going to get a free weighted blanket that's about $300 on their site. I think it's like $290. So any purchase over $1,000, you get the free weighted blanket, and it is dope, by the way. That works also with your 36-month pay-as-you-go and the 40% off bundle sale. So let's just say, for example, you wanted to buy a bed and a mattress protector, sheets, pillows, and an adjustable base all at the same time. You use your discount because it's going to be all 40% off. So you're 40% off there. And then in addition to that, if the purchase price is still over $1,000, you're going to get a $300 weighted blanket for free. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkerbros. You're making those big holiday purchases. Make sure you get a good deal. next up, what I'm drinking right now, Cardamax Energy Intensifier. Go to cardamax.com. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders. I like to drop the Cardamax in a little bit of bubbly water, spicy water. That's my jam. Use the least amount of ingredients as possible. There's absolutely no junk in there. It gives you energy to optimize your workouts or whatever else you need a boost for, like dealing with Giorgio, for example. Cardamax will keep you going no matter what's going on. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL and fellow drinker bro Sean Mattson, Cardamax Energy Intensifier comes in an easy-to-mix liquid packet with two great flavors, blue raspberry and my favorite, pink lemonade. So go to cardamax.com. Use the promo code DB. You're going to get 30% off your next four orders. Cardamax helping you achieve your max. And finally, we'll talk about this a little bit more later in the show, but MyBookie. It's gambling time of year, and you can actually gamble on this fight. You can gamble on a lot of stuff, but this week we're gambling on Turkey Day football this year, Turkey Day. And MyBookie gives you plenty of reasons to be thankful, starting with a $250 risk-free bet on Thursday afternoon when the Dallas Cowboys host the Las Vegas Raiders. Bet the spread between the Raiders and Cowboys at MyBookie. When you win, you win. And if you don't, MyBookie will refund you up to $250. Simply put, you cannot lose this bet. And that's what I call no risk, all gravy. I don't know what that means. Before you get your wager in, I do like gravy, though. I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging gravy. Before you get your wager in, set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using the promo code DRINKINBROS at MyBookie.com. That's promo code DRINKINBROS to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000, so you don't need to break the wishbone to be the one to come out ahead, right? You're going to get $250 either way. Feast risk-free on Turkey Day with MyBookie, and make sure to stick around for seconds as they gear up for what should be a fun Black Friday sale with tons of odd boosts that will have your belly and your pockets full. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with my bookie.
So here's my take on it. The traditional boxer, you're taking away everything he knows, all of his experience, all his ability for his footwork to move around, to evade this like crazy brawler from MMA.
Yeah, because
now you let him hold hands.
If he's a trapper, right? If he's a trapper, then he's probably working around the cage, right? Not really caring about dominating the center of the ring because he's looking to counterpunch, right? And if he's a tracker, if he's fucking following the guy around, he's used to pushing somebody around the cage. Now, if you're a trapper, your cage is this big because otherwise you're putting yourself in a corner. You have to stay in the circle right in the middle. Like, how do you even visualize that when you're on the floor?
Well, true. I mean,
because otherwise your back is literally in a corner.
Yeah.
Think about this. Your back's in the corner, and now you can grab, and you can punch, and you can step on their foot.
Yeah, so I mean, if we want to talk about the new rules, you get the underhook, you get a half tie clinch to our audience. You don't get to fully lap over the head, and you can't pull the head into a front headlock position or a schoolboy headlock position for punching.
Is it fists only or elbows allowed?
No elbows are allowed, but it looks like an 8-ounce glove. It looks like a boxing glove towards the top, but your fingers are exposed. So what I wanted to ask you is, are you allowed to grab the opponent's wrist?
You are. So you are allowed to grab wrists. You're allowed to grab round. You're allowed to grab arm. The only thing you really can't grab, theoretically, would be below the waist or around the neck, I guess.
I'm not interested in any.
You know, well, like...
That gives a huge advantage to wrestlers and MMA fighters because they're used to wrist control. They're used, and especially from a boxer, if they don't have anywhere to move and to stick and move and punch and be evasive, if they get a hold of them and get that wrist control, that's going to like completely level the playing field with some
for
of
sure,
these guys.
Yeah. I mean, wrist control allows you to completely ignore that side of your head for a minute, which is it seems like not a big deal, but it's a pretty fucking big deal when you're a fighter.
And these boxers aren't used to getting their wrists away. They haven't trained this at all ever. They're in new situations they've never been in before.
Yeah. This will be really interesting.
A lot of the shit we used to get was, hey, you're putting boxers against MMA, but even the best MMA can't compete because they're not used, you know, the footwork's different and they're just that split second of thinking about grabbing or legs, you know? And so when we created this, we're like, all right, we literally listened to the audience. As a person whose background is in entertainment, my thing is about entertain the audience, listen to what they want. So they don't like the ground game. They don't like it when people are like down there and pinned down and, you know, kicking's pretty boring. It doesn't often work out. So it's like, okay, nothing below the waist. We also know boxers, they're not going to do anything with kicking. They're just not going to participate. So how do you keep the biggest to participate? Keep it above the waist. Make sure you include punching. Make sure it's all the punches you can do in boxing. But now add in the clinching, the holding, open up the fingers, which is for MMA, right? And give them the ability to obviously still as a boxer, okay, I can convince the boxer, listen, all you're doing really is getting the ability to grab and adding some punches in and changing the ring. So I think on both sides, you know, a lot of people think boxing still has the advantage, but it's funny. A lot of the MMA guys are telling me, I think MMA has the advantage. And you probably know it's now a team sport. You can lose your fight and win your team. So we literally give points to MMA. There's a point system for a knockout, you know, split decision, so on and so forth. And you have a point for each MMA and or boxing for each fight. Mm. You could lose your fight and end up getting a giant bonus at the end of the night.
I think that's a really good idea. Ways to make, I don't know. I think the big gripe from my perspective about combat sports thus far is that a single loss means so much. But in no other sport is that the case. Like in college football, one loss sometimes means a lot, but only in one season, not over a career. And tennis, a single person sport, you could lose multiple games within a match, or you could lose matches. You could fucking, but as long as you've won a couple of majors, you're like considered one of the top players in the world. But if you've lost three or four or five fights or something like that, people are like, he's lost five times. It's not a big deal. What the fuck does that mean? Fighting is not easy. Go do it, bitch. It sucks. And that's what makes it. Go ahead.
You said there's so many factors that go to that, right? Like what happened earlier that day. You could be tired. You could have like
I had a bad cut. You know? Yeah. Like your weight cut wasn't good. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, there's so many reasons to lose. I think we need to stop paying. I like how I don't even know what you would call it. Maybe just diffusing the responsibility or maybe diffusing the reward from an overall good. Like if you ultimately what you're going to get from that type of setup is, entire camps are going to come in together and fight on a card, right? Like they're going to train together. They're going to fucking blah, blah, blah for fucking 6 weeks and then come in and fight. It's like a, it's like the Ultimate Fighter, but in it's real life. It's not a fucking reality
show. It's the boxers train this new triad combat and the MMA fighters come and train triad combat and they see what happens. And it'll be really interesting. This is just my personal opinion. I think it'd be really interesting for the first year, 2 years of it, because I don't think they'll want to like learn much from each other at all. Like they're all will probably pick up certain things that are advantageous or make it better in like this specific sport. But I don't think they will. They'll cross for a while.
How long did it take for everybody else to get into grappling after homeboy just dominated UFC?
Oh, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu? Yeah. I mean, it took a long time for everyone to learn that like I have to know a little bit about Jiu-Jitsu to compete in MMA. So
It was still like, you would get wrestlers, but you wouldn't get jiu-jitsu. Like, you wouldn't get strikers training jiu-jitsu that much until later, like in the 90s, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even today, sometimes they ignore it.
It took them 10 years, I think, really, to really get it. One thing we're doing is, you know, Nigel Lithgow is our kind of creative head producer who created American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance. And so we're actually creating a show called So You Think You Can Fight. And we're going to have boxing and MMA training together through the show. So they actually can learn, and then we're gonna do where they actually have to fight MMA, then they have to fight boxing, and then they have to fight in the triad. So you get to see the same fighters fight in all three.
Awesome! And then you could probably break that content down into small clips and in interviews, and then you kind of put them all through that attention span. And like the real fight nerds are gonna gobble it up every second, and then you're gonna get really high level people to comment on it and then give their opinion. Maybe.
But these days, you're stopping one person short. You can get high level people to get involved in the fighting part now, right? Yeah. When I say high level, I mean people with a built-in audience already. We'll bring all these kids over that don't care about fighting. They just want to see what happens. You know what I mean? It's like a fucking, it's a beautiful car wreck. That's what it is.
We literally have 1,000 influencers who have asked to fight, and we're literally going through kind of a vetting process to see like who can fight. You don't want to just like one punch and they're down, right?
That content wouldn't last as long. Let's put it that way.
No, that's super.
Saturday's really fun though, because these are, I mean, I argue we have some of the world's best boxers and some of the world's best UFC and Metallica.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, look at this card, it's crazy. Like there's super talented high level people. Like everyone on here has fought for a world title just about, and like you've never seen this before, and you got Metallica. So like I want to talk about like your blend of like combat sports and music. It feels like all your events have a huge music element to that. How have you been able to incorporate that, like side by side, like with stages, where the performance are, and then like plans for that in the future?
Yeah, so really that came out of the app, right? At the end of the day, we've got, you know, call it 300 million people that we can listen to and talk to. And, you know, we're really listening to them. And we realize there's a massive crossover between music and kind of fighting. And part of that is, how do you bring the younger audience in? They don't want to just watch 4 hours of straight fighting. They might watch like one of the fights, but if you break it up and you give them a show, which is effectively what American Idol is, or what, you know, So You Think You Can Dance is, you know, it really is trying to put that together and finding the right rhythm of that, of course, where it doesn't get too much into music or, you know, too far away. And we've had to, you know, pull back and, you know, everything's a little trial and error, nothing perfect. But we've really found, I mean, we have something called the Trillerverse, where we put together our versus events and our boxing. And what people don't understand is that, it's more like a TV show, not a boxing event. We got 5 million concurrents, 5.9 million, I'm going to say concurrents, 5.5 million unique during that single show, not like after, 5.5 million comments during, meaning that if you compared it to every other show on the air, we're up there. I think we were like second to The Bachelor, and above Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. We were in the top three shows of every one of our last shows. So I think what's happening is we're getting this crossover audience, and we're seeing sometimes the younger coming in, sometimes the older coming in, and we're trying to kind of, you know, give something for everyone. And that's why we brought Nigel in, because I always joked around, Nigel said to me, and I've known him for many years, you know, why did you decide to bring me in? I wasn't really a combat sports guy. I said, because anybody who walked into the room and pitched, I'm going to have the whole world watching a celebrity and a random person ballroom dance and make it the biggest show on TV, I'd laugh my ass off, but you did it. So if you can do that, you know, you're going to get the whole world watching this.
There's one more element to this music thing that I think we should probably, I should probably hook you up with my buddy Jason Fox. He's a former NFL player. He's got a, maybe you've heard of it. He's got a company called Earbuds Music. And what they do is, while your favorite celebrity or sports personality or whomever it is warming up for their shit and they're listening to music, you can listen along to the same music they are, right, at the same time. So, it's a really fucking good idea. It hasn't taken Patrick Mahomes is one of the investors in it. It just hasn't taken off yet because I don't think they've put it in front of the right eyeballs necessarily, or maybe they haven't found the right digital platform to partner with, because I don't think it's a standalone service. I think it's something inside of something else. You might be yours.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something that has to go along with something, but we do pretty much every major new hip hop and R&B release. So we just, you know, did Mount Westmore's first release. We took them to number one charting, number one streaming, and we got them the Triller Billboard number one. Things like that, where we're always doing the new releases and breaking new artists. Like, if we had celebrity listen along as part of that, because we do all these challenges.
Because then you gobble up their fan base and they almost get like solidified by the celebrity or the former musician.
And it doesn't even need to be one. It's a great growth strategy for the platform itself and for new creators, but also. It doesn't even need to be event based. It can just be like, what the fuck? You just see like a AOL Instant Messenger back in the day. One of your fucking friends is online right now and he's listening to music. Let me go see what he's listening to. You know what I mean? That would crush.
Yeah,
it would crush.
I think that would be sick. And then also you can be listening along to a celebrity, and if you use your clicks, the celebrity can be texting you as they're listening to it. So imagine if we had like them on a clicks account, and all of a sudden you get a text from you guys or from, you know, I don't know, like someone who's on our clicks, make it up like J-Lo or whatever, says, hey, I'm about to listen to this new song, even if it's not hers, you know, check it out, listen along with me. It sends that out to all 100 million people. They can, boom, they can listen along, and they can also comment, and they can, you know, send you texts. I love it. I hate it. That's great. Yeah. You know, and create a community around listening. It's a listening party, basically.
Yeah. You could also use it for music teasers. Like, you put out just one of the fucking hooks from the song or whatever. And then it's all over TikTok the next day already, and the song's not even out for two more weeks. You know what I mean? It's just it's a very good device to push things out. Yeah, I think somebody, I'll hook you up with those guys. You'll figure something out for it, I'm sure.
I mean, you've made four deals here in 45 minutes.
It's been great. So you think you can fight? This is pretty interesting to me because I want to talk about necessarily you're fighting. Like, there should be a direct correlation between your fighting skill and what your entertainment value was. That is no longer the case. That is completely disproven. Like, but you do want to fight someone inside your skill level. So you're matching people up with, like, would people want to see them fight? Why would people want to see them fight? Like, about them as a person is, like, energetic or exciting, or the ability for the trash talk and the build up, but then also pairing someone who, like, is a good dance partner in all of those areas as well.
Yeah, you nailed it. So that's why Nigel's perfect for it. Because if you think about what he did with Idol, think about what he did with Dance, it's the backstories, right? So we're emotionally getting invested in these people, but it's also talent. Like, it's not, so, you know, yeah, we're learning about this kid off the street who's never professionally fought, but had, you know, 20, you know, boxing fights on the street. And this other kid who maybe has had pro, but then you're actually looking and saying, okay, they have to fight their way up through the show. They have to win. And they have to have talent, and not just in one, but in three. So you're getting judged in boxing, you're getting judged in MMA, you're getting judged in the triad. And so it's equally about your story, but all that story is going to be is, do you like them or not like them? Do you feel like you're going to get their ass kicked, or do you want to see them kick ass? You know, but the talent at the end of the day is what will win, not the personality. And I think that's part of what we're bringing back in is talent needs to win. You can have a great personality. You know, and still get people to love you, come off the show as a, you know, famous, but you certainly shouldn't be a world recognized boxer if you're not a world, you know, class boxer.
Yeah, it's almost like the Hunger Games. You know how you could sponsor people and give them extra tools to use while they're in the Hunger Games? And that's basically what the American system of government is now, where a congressman is like, hey, oil refinery, can I get some money? Or hey, fucking abortion people, can I get some money? And that's how we choose who leads our country. It's fucking dope,
man. I hate that, Dan. So we have, like, how much of the training process do we have before they actually get to compete against each other? And do people, can people donate money so they get better trainers? Like, I get to bring in Freddie Roach as their boxing consultant now because people like
give them good meat.
By the way, that's a dope idea. I'm gonna talk to Nigel about that. I don't know. Freddie's a little slow. I love Freddie, but he actually gave me some. But I think that's a great idea where people can sponsor other people to upgrade, you know, maybe higher level, this higher level, that, you know,
personal gym time. Like,
there hasn't been a live competition. I don't think combat sports would be an appropriate way to do it, to be honest, but there hasn't been a live competition. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything specifically, but maybe a sport, right? Or maybe like playing fucking Battleship or something. You're rooting for the team. And by the way, it's built on the fucking backstories that he's talking about. And you're able to drop like a live television event or a live trailer event, whatever it happens to be. And you can pay more. This is just like kids buying skins on fucking Fortnite, dude. It is money that is spent on nothing except for pure entertainment. That's it. Which is the highest margin revenue that you can generate, frankly.
I actually love that idea. And I'm going to definitely give you guys, you know, the credit for coming up with it, but I'm going to steal it. I hope you don't mind.
I don't care. No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to go take a nap right after this show's over, to be honest. I'm not doing anything.
I got to fly to Iowa.
I got to fly to Texas for a little fight.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. I tell people ideas all the time because I want them to exist. You know what I mean? I know I'm not going to do it. I'm not fucking saving up for later to do this shit. I just want it to exist so I can enjoy it. That's all.
Have you heard the saying, a vision without execution is hallucination?
Yeah, well, I hallucinate quite a bit as well. So
that's on purpose, Dan.
Yeah, I do it on purpose.
Yeah.
I do too. A little chocolate here and there doesn't hurt anybody.
No, it doesn't. I've got a couple of bars at the house. We got 5 MEO and all sorts of stuff here. We get pretty wild. So what's the next fight after this one for the triad?
So we haven't announced the actual fighters, but what I can tell you is that we're getting the most unexpected. I mean, you never know. When we announced this, I figured half the world is going to say, you know, that's stupid, and half the world might say, yeah, we'll see what it is. I've never gotten our chief boxing officer, our logistics. We are getting, you name the fighter, they're calling, and, you know, a lot of them UFC guys. So you'll see a lot of them showing up, I think, at this event on Saturday. And I would project a mass exodus from the UFC.
Oh, the event's on Saturday?
This one?
Yeah.
Why was I get back Friday night at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, you're coming, I hope. I mean, this is a full Metallica concert. We're not getting two Metallica songs. We're getting a full concert. And Nigel making this thing, I'm telling you, it's going to be epic. When you see the shit he's put together, it's going to be a night nobody's going to forget. Like, it's going to just, it'll blow people's socks off.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm coming to that now. Yeah, now I'm really happy. I just made my day right then. Just knowing the correct date of the event.
That helps, right?
Just a little bit.
Saturday at Arlington and at Globe Park. And it's 6 p.m. I think 5:30 or 6 p.m. I think it's 6 p.m. I'm totally spacing right now, but yeah, we've got 6 great fights. Metallica's opening up the show, and then we'll play a few throughout, and then we'll play an entire concert after the main event. And you know, there's so many cool surprises in here. I think people, it's something that people will be talking about.
I'm not surprised to see that you're hearing from UFC guys. I mean, a lot of people have been making memes lately. I know that it's kind of the way UFC pays their employees is some of it is tranched and based on how they perform and shit like that. I get it. But the entire, like of the third person on a boxing card makes the same amount that the entire card from the UFC makes typically.
Yeah. Well,
that's not okay. It's not good business to do that, man. It's the Walmart versus Target market. If you pay your people more money, then I mean, you can say that they might be an industry of one now. I would say that is under full assault because John Jones is going to perform in a fucking grappling only match this
so
weekend.
So these small promotion grappling events are blowing up everywhere. Donald Cerrone is about to fight Craig Jones in like a no-gi competition here. ONE FC is just trying to cover all the martial arts and having a belt for everything. They're big in Asia. So, I mean, it's people are trying to have their own theories of ways to corner the market. So it's not necessarily an army of one anymore.
I don't think you want to corner any market, though. You want to build a marketplace. Right now, there isn't a marketplace. There's UFC and everybody else. Once there's a marketplace, well, you don't have to fight UFC anymore. Your product can fight for itself.
And that's why we're doing it. We still have the Triller Fight Club. So we still have, well, Triller Fight Club base. So we still have Main Boxing. We still have our Triller Verse. And we have Triad. So we really are, like you said, trying to be a marketplace. Mm-hmm. But one, because it, quote, levels the playing field, you know, I'd say a lot of people have asked us, have called and asked us, you know, who are currently in the UFC, you know, if they can fight. And so we're looking into that. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that on the next card as to, because it's not UFC competitive per se.
Mm. Whoa. So you're saying you're going to get an active UFC fighter to compete in a martial arts competition on your network during another event coming up soon?
I'm not saying exactly that. The words would be a little different.
Okay. Okay.
I would say I don't call it martial arts, and it depends how you define active.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
You're really sounding like Bill Clinton on trial right now. What exactly do you mean by is?
So what I'm saying is that you know, we would never interfere with anybody's business, of course, and we would only in a way where it would never hurt them. Of course, and would cause no damages to them. But we believe that indentured servitude is illegal. And I think that's what our Constitution says as well. And therefore, we believe also fighters in many cases are underpaid. I think it's really sad that like Vitor Belfort's highest payday was with us after he was retired, given that he was, you know, had the most knockout, like stuff like that. Shouldn't be happening. So we want to help make this more fair for the people who put their bodies and brains through shit.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Thanks for coming out and talking about all this today. Make sure, guys, that you check out Triller this weekend. It's a big fight. We didn't even talk about the fighters. Frank Mir, Kubrat is the headliner, I guess. That's going
to
be a good
one. Yeah, I alluded to that. Kubrat has only lost to Anthony Joshua and Klitschko. So like, you don't get better heavyweight competitors than this guy. And like Frank Mir proved in that last competition that he can box. And then now you let him like grab onto you, hold onto you, get an underhook. Like it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to follow. We bet on my bookie over here. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to fucking throw some money down on Frank Mir on this just to sprinkle the sprinkle the line there with him, because I think he might fucking win this fight.
I mean, we've never seen Triad Combat before, so I think all the gloves are off until this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. That's the only other part of your marketplace that you're missing right now is a gambling site, so you just got to buy one.
We actually do have bet online, and you can also bet boxing versus MMA. So you can not just bet on a single fight, but you're able to bet, does the boxing team win or does the MMA team win?
Oh, yeah, I want that as part of my parlays. Like, this is just, I'm salivating right now.
We're going to have to look into that.
There's a scoring system you can find online on trillerfightclub.com. Mm-hmm. Tell me one second. I've got my six-year-old here.
Who wants looks like he needs some attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, I just want to say hi, Tommy. You're on TV right now, buddy. So the fight actually, and the betting, you can legitimately fight or bet MMA or boxing. And so I actually want to call Dana White out. I want to say that I'll put $1 million. That right now, you know, team boxing will be team MMA. Not that I believe in boxing, but only because I just want to get see Dana, if Dana really believes in MMA here. But coming. I'll finish. Sit down in 1 minute. So I'm also going to bet on specific, you call it UFC fighters or MMA fighters at the same time. So I'm not calling anyone versus the other. I just purely am doing it, even if I lose money, because I want to step up and back his people.
Well, I can't wait to see the back and forth between you two on Twitter. We'll let you go be a dad. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
And make sure you guys tune in for the Triller Fight Club Triad Combat with Metallica full. I assume that the Metallica concert is also televised, right?
Oh, yeah. The full concert. It's on Fight TV, F-I-T-E. If you don't have it, you can download it. Phone, App Store, TV, Apple, Roku, all that. I think pretty much everywhere. Yeah. Samsung. Oh.
This Saturday, November 27th, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Get your stuff lined up for it. Now I'll be watching for sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Oh, he said he loves you guys.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just okay, bye.
See ya.